presented by WeAreArcade.com. You're listening to Arcade Radio.
The fixed music comes from Cubby and their EP Gash Powered. You can find them on Bandcamp at cubby.bandcamp.com. That's KUBBI.bandcamp.com. Hello and welcome back to Arcade Radio, for games, gamers, and all the good stuff in between. I'm your host, Daniel Grossing. With me today are Kaylee Powers.
Hello.
And Matthew Pollard.
Hello.
Once again, Stevie and George couldn't make it, unfortunately, and Kevin is off slapping things up in an MMO. He didn't tell us which one. I think it's the sex one. He didn't want to go into it in too much detail.
So isn't that all of them?
That's all the MMOs are sex MMOs. Everything is it's an allusion towards, like, hot, torn action. So, Kevin, Godspeed. Enjoy the tour in action.
And don't get any, like, digital STDs. They're a bitch, I hear.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get started straight off with the usual of what we've been playing in the week. So, Kay, why don't you start up? What have you been up to?
Game-wise, I've played 400 Days twice now.
That's the Walking Dead one, right? How is that?
Really good, actually. It doesn't really, like, wrap up properly, but I think that's deliberate, really, because season 2 is going to come out soon, hopefully. And I think they're going to be the characters for the next one. So it doesn't really explain much, but they are really loose little tied stories. So it was good playing it twice just to find out what happens if you choose the other options. So I played Walking Dead, the first one, 4 times now.
So this one, the 400 Days, it's not like the first one where there are 4 chapters. It's a separate thing, isn't it?
Because I've played it as well, and it's more like you've got like 5 mini chapters within like one episode. So it's because I reviewed it recently, and it is good. The only thing that bothered me is that all the chapters were quite short. So just as we're getting the feel of the characters, it's just like, oh, it's finished.
Yeah, it was quite a big tease, actually. But yeah, and apparently you can play them in it. There's a chronological order, which I didn't know. I just went in there and picked the ones I wanted to play, but yeah, maybe I have to do it again now.
It does work, though, because even though if you don't pick them in chronological order, they do also overlap, so it doesn't really matter what order you pick them in. It's very well done.
Yeah, definitely. No, it did kind of make me want to... I'm itching to play season 2 now, so... Yeah, just got to wait.
Okay, anything else you've been playing?
I've just bought Animal Crossing New Leaf, so that's another one that everyone seems to be playing at the moment.
Yeah, my wife's playing that at the moment. That's what she's doing right now. She's gone upstairs to bed and playing Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I swear every woman I know is playing that game at the moment.
So wait, Matt, you're telling me your wife's upstairs right now in bed with Tom Nook and you're not doing anything about it?
Well, I've learned to accept these things. You know, there's some things that you have no control over.
Oh, and you gotta pay that mortgage any way you can.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, if she's got to spend some time with Tom Nook to, you know, and get those bells, you know, who am I to argue?
Get back in the bedroom and get them bells.
Oh.
I really loved Animal Crossing on the GameCube, and I had really fond memories of it, and when the DS one came out, I was quite into it, but never quite got quite the same. The Wii one came out, and I just didn't even really get into it. And this one came out, and for the first maybe week or two, I was super into it, like doing everything all the time. And then just fell off. My interest just went straight down. I don't know what it is. Other people, like, you know, Twitter and Facebook, you can't take a step back. People talking about Animal Crossing amazingness, but don't know.
Yeah, it does seem to, like, on my street pass when I went to LFCC, 2 weeks ago now, everyone that I met on the LFCC, it just said that I've recently been playing New Leaf, and that's all I saw, every single person, and I had at least 30 people on the Saturday in my street pass, and every single one of them was New Leaf. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely taken off, but I don't know, maybe not for me. Maybe I'm just missing something.
Yeah, and no, I see what you mean. There's not really an aim to it after a while, but yeah, I don't know, I just got quite addicted to it.
Matt, how about you? What have you been playing this week?
This week, I haven't had a hell of a lot of time to play again, because again, I was outside this weekend, so this is almost becoming a habit. But I have started playing Dark, which is like a stealthy, it's like stealthy action game with some RPG elements in it. And
that's
my initial
like Vampire Masquerade, right? But not.
It is a bit like that. It's like, except it's like a third person thing, and it's a bit more linear. Whereas Masquerade, you could go around, you know, explore a bit more. But to be honest, it's a bit shit. So I'm only really sticking with it just so, you know, I can do a review of it, because Nat's always saying to me, you know, you need to review some more shit games, because all my reviews are far too complimentary, apart from the Aliens one.
Well, you know, 8th of August is Review a Bad Game Day. I don't know if you've done that before, but it's that guy, Nintendo Legend, if you ever met him online. He does it every single year, and anyone who has a blog or website or whatever can write a bad review, send it off to that site, and it's just a day of celebrating crap games, basically.
Nice.
I might have to do that. I've started up my my Geese rental again, because I haven't really been able to afford many new games recently, so I thought I'll start up my rental account again. And I've put Ride to Hell on my list, which apparently is supposed to be one of the most dire games released on, especially, certainly the current generation at the moment. So if that shows up, that might have to be that game.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Myself, I've been playing Odin Sphere, actually. I picked up a copy. It's basically a scrolling beat-em-up RPG on the PS2, and it features the most typically Japanese heroine with a skirt that is just slightly longer than her butt. And it's really annoying, because you spend the entire game being like, is that a butt? No, it's not a butt. Is that a butt? No. And I mean, every attack is like, I think I can see a butt. I also did some damage, but that's not important. It's a great game, but there's fan service out the wazoo. It's by the same people who are also doing the upcoming Dragon's Crown, which is the one with the...
Oh, okay.
I mentioned this last time, the sorceress with the powers. And, it's looking good. It's that kind of stuff, and it's fun. It's cheesecake, and it's good times. I also hooked up my old arcade machine, and I started playing the old Punisher, scrolling beat-em-up again.
Oh, yeah, good stuff.
Oh, it's so hard! I know those older the old arcade machines were, old arcade games rather, were hard, but I started up and I gave myself 20 credits. I was like, yeah, no problem, 20 credits. Who needs more than this? And no, I definitely needed more. I had to not put more in shame. Because if I have to use more than 20 credits to beat this game, then forget it. It's just, no. It's great fun, but it's just rock.
Honestly.
Rock hard.
Because I've got a SNES now, thanks to getting one from your shop, actually, Dan.
Aye.
And I've been just I've just been on eBay just seeing what games I can get for less than a couple of quid, and I managed to win Super Star Wars for £1.95. So I'm looking forward to getting that and getting extremely frustrated at remembering how crap I was at it.
That's the thing, though, when you play all the games, and you're like, wow, was this game super hard, or...?
Also, I started playing Dark Souls as well, and
yes.
that very much harkens back to how hard games used to be. It is really unforgiving, but it's not unforgiving. You know, it's not like, oh my god, this is so hard, I give up. It's, oh my god, this is so hard, I need to try again, sort of hard.
The good thing I like about Dark Souls is that if you're online, even if you're dying, you can see the shadows of other players all dying all the time. So you're like, well, it's not just me. Everyone sucks at this game.
Yeah, I kind of like the messages, although some of them aren't so helpful, because I've come across a few messages that just says, need head.
There's the ones that lead you off cliffs and stuff as well. You don't trust them all.
Yeah, fortunately I haven't come across any of those yet, but to be honest, I do just as good a job of falling off a cliff myself. It wouldn't matter that much.
Apart from that, really, I've been playing Remember Me, which again I mentioned recently. It's Remember Me is a great game, like sitting, it's like a coffee, you know, with a, it's like a cappuccino with foam. The foam is great. The first two levels, fantastic. Really nice. The world is so nicely developed and everything looks fantastic. And you play it and, it's got this build your own combo system, which is, very, you know, pretty unique. You know, you start with only just two combos, a three button and a four and a six button attack. And, it actually starts really nicely. The character's quite fun. You can tell it's French because there's like more than two black people in it. it's got a lovely soundtrack and it's really good. And then the third level happens and somebody's shouting your coffee. Like you go, this foam's delicious. And you get to the coffee and you're like, it's got floating bits of poo. It's like, it's just so rushed. The combat just goes down the toilet because they immediately give you like 10 hit combos that you get confused trying to set up. Most of the time you're trying to pull off these combos and the enemies, the leapers particularly, are just battering you. Like they're invisible, and as long as they're invisible, they're unhittable. And they'll just jump on you in mid-combo, and it's a complete pain in the ass. The storyline goes from intriguing to really flat, really quickly. And it's a shame. I mean, like, honestly, when I stopped playing, I was like, this game's like an 8 out of 10, this is really nice. And now I'd have to give, you know, a 6 at best, and that's a push. Real shame. But I hope they do come back with a sequel. It's definitely why I'd like to see, like, the world again. And I think that with a bit more polish, the gameplay could be good again, but it wasn't quite there, unfortunately.
So it's good game, not so great execution.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can tell somebody had a really good idea, and it just didn't come out.
That kind of reminds me of, I think, what was it called? It was called Fahrenheit or Indigo Prophecy, depending on where you were.
Yeah, that's right, Quantic Dream.
Yeah, and, you know, that's like, that started off brilliantly. It was like, wow, you know, this is really cool. You know, you've got, like, you have different things happen depending on what sort of actions you take. And it's like, starts off really well. And then sort of like halfway through, it's like they've either got bored or like the writer left and they just got like someone's kid to come in and finish the script because it just goes completely off board. It's like, I don't know, like aliens and shit. And it just turns into a complete mess. You just like turn into this super powered nonsense.
Do you remember the creepy scene where like he gets to go and they make out, but he's a zombie at the time?
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
But, yeah, I mean, there's spoilers here, so if you haven't played it,
spoilers on a 10-year-old game, guys.
Well, yeah, but you know, it's either stick your fingers in your ears, or you know, to be honest, the game spoils itself halfway through anyway. But basically, this guy ends up—he's pretty much dead, but he's alive, and he ends up getting her pregnant. It's like, how does a dead dude get a woman pregnant? And
yeah,
that's weird.
It just makes me think of like the zombie baby in like the remake of Day of the Dead, or it's just like, oh, it was just like, it starts off brilliantly and it just ended like a big steaming pile of poo.
Okay, so let's move on from Warhammer 20 to the big event this week. Evo happened. For those who don't know, Evo is the biggest video game fighting game tournament in the world. It's huge. Proceeds go to charity, and it's where, you know, some of the greats like Justin Wong, Daigo, you know, they came out of that kind of thing. You've probably seen the videos on YouTube of the guy playing Ken parrying like a million kicks from Chun-Li. It's full of those kind of moments. This year, for the first time, Super Smash Bros. Was actually re-announced and allowed to be streamed. Only thing is, Nintendo weren't happy about that. Nintendo actually wanted to shut down Evo. They wanted to say, you can't stream this. Take our game off the thing. We don't want you having any part of it there at all. I don't understand why they would have done that. It seems really weird. They eventually, Renation, they did let them do it, but I just couldn't understand why they'd not want that. They just literally announced a new Smash game. This is free advertising, surely.
You would think they'd be like, hey, yeah, show our game. You know, it's like you say, it's free advertising. You know, the only reason that they wouldn't want it streamed is, I suppose, is like, I don't know, rights or something like that. But, you know, that's the only reason. And to be honest, it makes them look like complete douches if they just go, no, we don't want you to show it. Because there is absolutely no good reason not to show it. It's not like, you know, the people were like playing dodgy copies or anything like that. It's all official, you know, it's all done down to the wire. It's like a huge tournament. And there's absolutely, like you say, there's absolutely no reason for them to not want to support it.
Well, it ties into the whole thing with their YouTube videos, that they recently took all monetization ability away from YouTube videos. Kay, did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did, actually. I just don't understand it.
Apparently they turned around, there was like a mini Twitter, like, you know, fan outcry and such. I get the feeling that probably somebody from Capcom or whoever who holds the biggest stake probably said to them, hey guys, it's not gonna fly. You're gonna look really stupid. And like I said, like, you know, they've got a Smash game coming out. They just advertised it at E3. Why wouldn't you want people getting hype about it? It just seems really strange to me.
Especially that, you know, announcing Smash Brothers was kind of bringing Wii U back again. So many people, you know, and I know friends as well who just couldn't be bothered to get a Wii U because there wasn't really that many games they wanted. And then Smash Brothers was announced, and it's like, oh my god, I have to get it now. Smash Brothers is coming out. Yeah.
Everyone wants to get it because you can play the Wii Fit Trainer. That's the main reason why people...
Oh, no, man. I want to play as the villager.
That guy's
a stone-cold killer.
Oh, have you seen the pictures that people have been doing of him?
Yeah, there's like a bunch of memes of him, like, just being terrible axe murderer, but still smiling all the time.
Yeah. No, it's great. I think he's kind of enhanced it in a way, actually.
Linking into this whole Evo thing, a little bit of a bugbear for me is that Capcom have announced another version of Street Fighter, which is Ultra Street Fighter 4. And I know it's like sort of like a mini update or a mini release, but it's just like this is one of the things that bothers me about fighting games. It's like they keep releasing different versions of these games. You know, I can sort of understand one update, but this is now an update to an update, which is now also is either being released as a new version, or you can, you know, download the new content as, you know, onto Xbox or PS3 or whatever.
Well, this is the third one, right? Because it was Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. Yeah, now it's Ultra. So yeah, third one.
Yeah, so it's just like, it really, really bothers me. I think I was a bit pissed off since because last fighting game I bought was Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and then like 6 months later they brought out Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I shouldn't really be surprised with Capcom, because the amount of versions there are of Street Fighter 2 out there is probably, you know, there's probably more than number of years in my life almost. But it really, really does bother me, and I know there's people out there who buy it, and, you know, it's akin to like people who buy every edition of FIFA that comes out every single year. But to me, I can't see how how they can keep getting away with it. I don't think this latest version especially has enough to offer that they can justify, you know, saying, oh, hey, here's a new version.
Well, what does it come with, new one?
I think there's a few new characters, but I think a lot of it's to do with balancing issues. I mean, I don't know, because I did buy Street Fighter 4 initially, because apparently I hate myself. but, you know, I think it addresses some balance issues and stuff like that, but that to me, that can't really address, you know, that shouldn't be addressed in like a new version. That should be like, you know, a patch or something like that, at least.
I've got it here. There's 5 new characters, only 4 of which have been announced, which is Poison, Hugo, Rolento, and Elena. Elena's from Street Fighter 3. But they've all actually been used apart from Elena before in Street Fighter vs. Tekken, so it's not even new, really.
And they've got some new arenas.
Yeah.
And some completely rebalanced gameplay based on fan feedback. To me, that's a little bit of a piss take. Hey, yeah, we've taken your feedback and now we're going to charge you for it.
Yeah.
Is it just me or is it a little bit of a piss take?
No, there's too many versions now of it. It does seem a little bit like, why don't you just release a fan bundle pack, like DLC?
Large problems as well is that if you do want to play competitively, you have to buy the next one. You have to, because otherwise you'll be coming in and this guy will be like, oh, I'm going to play Hugo. You know, I have no idea how he plays because I didn't buy Street Fighter 4 Ultra Spanking Edition Hyper.
That's
Hyper
it. I think they do. They probably do target, like, you know, like the tournament players and people who have to absolutely 100% play the newest version, because they're going to buy it regardless of what they put in it, even if they put, I don't know, Saddam Hussein in this character. I don't know why I chose Saddam Hussein, but
that's
the
fifth character,
guy
guys. You heard it here first. Secret character.
Saddam Hussein in Street Fighter 2.
Saddam Hussein.
He's going to be like the South Park version.
What would his move be?
Decapitation, probably.
Hang him.
Oh dear.
So, you were saying?
Oh, I've forgotten what I was saying. I have absolutely forgotten what I was saying. I think that whole Saddam Hussein thing threw me off.
Right.
About tournament players.
Oh yeah, well, you know, like the tournament players absolutely have to play this version, so. That is probably why Capcom think, you know, they know they can get away with it. And the thing is, you know, it screws over the people who like playing it for fun. You know, if someone kept, you know, say sending out updates for, like, I don't know, Monkey Island is my favourite game. If they said, oh yeah, here's an extra bit, here's an extra bit, here's an extra bit, here, you know, that'll be £5 for each one. I just start getting pissed off. So I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I'm angry about releases for a game that I don't play. That sums this up.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, it'll be, you know, like Matt was saying about it being your favourite game. If it was your favourite game, I think I still would be a little pissed off if I have to keep shelling out money every so often on this game. And you think they'd give something back to the fans.
But I suppose on the flip side, you know, I'm trying to play your devil's advocate here, is that if it is your favourite game and they do keep on bringing out new content for it, I mean, you know, obviously that's brilliant, but I suppose it depends on, you know, whether you're willing to pay for it. I mean, just for me, it seems like they're getting to the point with Street Fighter and all of their fighting games, like I mentioned about the whole, you know, Marvel versus Capcom thing. You know, it seems like they're just try and milk as much money out of these, you know, beat 'em up types as they possibly can.
I guess it wouldn't be so bad if it was quite varied and it was new, unique stuff, but it isn't a lot of the time, sadly.
Well, for me, 5 characters, 6 stages, and some balance issues is a DLC pack for me. It's not a new version.
Have they said how much it costs for the DLC pack?
It's £12, I think. Mm. Yep. It's £12 or £20 full retail, which isn't that bad, but you know, you're talking about, you know, people who've probably shelled out, you know, 40 quid for the last two versions. So you're looking at spending like, you know, £100 on, to, you know, basically play the latest version, really.
Yeah, I mean, Street Fighter's always had a, like, a history of, like, you know, there was Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Super Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2, you know, Hyper Fighting again, and so on. It was like, it's always had that kind of history of tweaking. I guess if nothing else, it's better this time around that the tweaks can be downloaded. Like, you buy Street Fighter, you can buy the, you know, the Ultra version for £12, rather than, as you'd have to before, buying the whole new game entirely. A lot of people have already bought Street Fighter once, you know, they've had the game, blah blah, sold it. It's been a fair while now since Street Fighter 4 came out. And so...
2008.
Yeah, there you go. That's 4 years. No, I can't count. 5 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a fair while. So for them to keep churning out content, you know, and keep it still fresh, because those five extra characters and tweaks, people are going to come back for that. They're going to come back. People who are like, I'm a bit tired of Street Fighter. I'm going to play Tekken or whatever. They're going to come back now saying, oh, hey, new characters, new balance. The stages aren't important. Who cares what stage you're like? Actually, I did see, speaking of ages, at TiVo, there was, I was really surprised that in Injustice, they let them keep in the stage interactables. Like, for some reason, there's a pig in one of the Injustice stages, and it's just like the biggest thing to just beat people to death with a dead pig. Like, you can swing it back and forth on a gurney, and people are just like, yeah, it's the best. Kill people with this pig forever. People are cheering and everything, going crazy.
See, this is a question that I'd be interested if, you know, if any of our listeners are like big Street Fighter players, you know, is like this new version of Street Fighter 4, you know, is it brilliant? Is it the best thing ever? Or, you know, are you pissed off that they've like released a yet another version of Street Fighter that they're charging you for, you know, if anyone...
Yeah, if you're a Street Fighter fan, do you feel this is okay? Or, you know, would you have liked something different? Would you have liked more? Would you have liked Street Fighter 5? You know, do you feel this is acceptable behaviour? Or do you feel like you're being ripped off?
Let us know. Call now.
Call us now on 1-800-RIP-OFF-REW. Don't call that number. I don't know what that would give you.
Oh, I'm trying to think these days.
But do tweet us at @WeAreArcade, and we will talk about it in the next show. Okay, we're going to talk now about the rise of gamer community areas. Places like Loading, which was originally in Yorkshire, I believe, and now has a bar down in London, in Soho. And also Meltdown, which, not sure where Meltdown is, sorry guys, but it's also in London. Meltdown is more heavily geared towards esports, and like, you know, like, it's the gamer version of like the footballer's pub. And Loading is more of just a bar where you can go, just go and chill out. You can also, like, you know, play games while you're there. They're both gaining a lot of popularity. There's other places opening up as well. When I was in the States, I went to a place called Barcade in New York, which was basically just a big arcade with retro games and booze, which is fine by me.
That's pretty much the ultimate combination, isn't it? Like, booze and video games for me. And it's just like, you know, leave me here. I'm set.
Goodbye, world. I'm fine.
When I was on my honeymoon in Vegas, we went to a bar called Insert Coins, which is on Fremont Street. And to be honest, you know, everyone talks about Fremont Street, like, oh, it's so amazing, you should look at, like, the whole light show and all that. And to be honest, I thought Fremont Street was a bit of a dump, and the only decent place was Insert Coins, which it was like, you know, it was like all retro, you know, arcade machines, and also, like, you know, PS3s and Xbox 360s set up, you know, with nice big TVs with comfy sofas that you could just sit down and start playing on. And, you know, with a cool bar with, like, a load of ales and all sorts of other drinks. And it was just brilliant. I mean, I just, like, picked up an ale called Arrogant Bastard, which
nice.
Is just one of the best ales I've ever had, name-wise, especially. And I just was feeding coins into Donkey Kong. It's like, what more could you ask for?
Yeah, I mean, go ahead. Have any of you guys actually been to the UK based ones, Meltdown or Loading?
I haven't. I must no, confess. I mean, yeah, I'd love to as well, but you know, I don't tend to get out much these days.
I went to Loading a little while ago. It was there was a downstairs, apparently. I had no idea. I was upstairs. I went there for the Animal Crossing event, and apparently it was like a whole extra area. And it was nice. It's inside another bar or another like cafe, I guess. They're called Mad, and they do mango based foods. Bit of an odd one, but if you go right down to the back, Loading is in the back and downstairs, apparently. And I'm looking to go back again sometime. We should all go, actually. It'll be fun. But it seemed really nice and really cool. It's a bit small, but I think their general idea is to, like, build up a community around there, and then once they're done with that, open their own larger place, which I'm all for. Meltdown, the footballer's pub for games I mentioned, was actually on the BBC, and it's a proper pub looking place, but all the screens on all the walls, there's PC set up and stuff, so you can play StarCraft and League of Legends and Dota and so on while you're there, and that seems really nice. Not quite as friendly an atmosphere, I guess, because it's all competitive gaming and esports, but still, you know, still good.
Well, Insert Coins in Vegas, you know, they're very much, they're not just like, you know, it's like a pub with, you know, some games in it. They've got, like, events on. They've got, like, resident DJs. And they've got, like weekly events, you know, monthly events, tournaments. So, you know, it's a proper, you know, gaming community bar, which is, you know, that's the thing. It's a community aspect, because, you know, anywhere could, like, be a bar with some games in it. But to actually get people to, you know, come back regularly, you need to have, like, these events and stuff to come back for, because, you know, I think otherwise it's a novelty, because if you could go in, have a drink, play some games, and then, you know, what else is there to come back for? Because ultimately, you know, you can have a beer and play some games at home as well. So really, it's just like, you know, getting these events, getting stuff to come back for.
Yeah, it's got to be that community.
What's going on?
I think that's like anything really. Like, you know, again, I could watch the football at home if I wanted to, but I guess having that atmosphere where everyone's into the same thing, you know, going back to football analogy, I guess, okay, a lot more people are into football than they're into, you know, gaming in public. But you like to go into a place and know that you can talk to anybody about, like, you know, the latest games or the latest football. In case it's not obvious, I don't know anything about football. So,
I don't
you know, how round the ball is, and this pitch is very green. Excellent grass.
I'm a Crystal Palace fan, so apparently I know nothing about football as well. So.
I'd love to laugh at your joke, Matt, but I don't know what you're talking about.
It was very funny.
If you're a football fan out there and you laughed, cheers.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, cool. So next up, we've got recommendations. This is a new feature we have where we recommend to you something that we found that's interesting. That could be a game, just a piece of music, a video on YouTube, a funny Vine, some illegal pornography, yeah, whatever. We're gonna give it to you, the listeners. We're gonna fill your ears with our. That doesn't sound right. Never mind. So we'll start with I'll start actually. I do recommend a game I found on the Xbox Live Indie Marketplace called One Finger Death Punch. I was just trawling through the games, just looking around, and it had this really old school kung fu movie kind of title, cover. And let this be a lesson to you guys, indie developers, especially on the Xbox, please hire artists. The amount of time I go through the indie marketplace and it looks like crap. I'm sure your game is great, but the art looks so bad, I don't even want to look at it. I don't want to try it. If you've got a game with, like, a terrible-looking, round-haired character, and they're in front of, like, an obviously photoshopped field, and all the characters are stick men, I'm not going to play it. I'm just not.
Hey, I made this box art with paint.
Yeah, I'm not going to play it, guys. I don't care how good your game is. If you can't draw, hire an artist. This guy did, Silver Dollar Games. I played it with some friends of mine, and it's great. You only use two buttons, X and B, and enemies come at you from either side of the screen. And as they do, you hit X or B to attack them on either side at the same time. It mixes it up, you get enemies you gotta hit twice, there's ones that will flip from side to side, enemies who require, like, you know, long strings of combo button presses, weapons, different kinds of stages, time challenges. It's so good, and it's really, really, really fun, like, completely Moorish and completely one more go, but it's like 80 points, it's like £2.50 or something like that, it's ridiculous.
No, I worked this out, 80 Microsoft points is like 70p!
I don't even know why I threw £2.50 down for that, but 70 pence. 70 pence, guys, it's so good. It's like if somebody put Tetris in front of you and said, hey, try this out, it'll cost you 50p. You know, it's not as deep as Tetris, don't get me wrong, but it is definitely that same kind of replayability factor. Really, really enjoyed it.
What can you get for 70p these days, really? I mean,
you can't even get a Mars bar for 70p.
No.
It's ridiculous.
Or maybe you can, but, you know.
Yeah, like a crap one for Little or something. If you would decent Mars bar.
If you had, like, a choice between a Mars bar and a really cool game, what would you go for?
Bear in mind that you're not going to starve to death. You've got food at home.
Yeah.
You're okay.
Yeah, no, I've played One Finger Death Punch, and it is really good. I mean, you know, it's brilliant in its simplicity. It just goes to show that you don't need to, you know, like, fill your game with a load of old crap and a load of filler that nobody gives a toss about. You know, just some simple gameplay mechanics. And, you know, the good thing is, you know, it's got some unlockables and stuff, so you've got like a few different skills you can switch between, and, you know, it's just good fun. And that's something that seems to be lacking these days. You know, you've got so many games that are going, hey, this game's got this, a million layers of, you know, different gameplay in it, and, you know, ultimately, all we need is, like, one simple idea, and it can make your game.
Mm. Okay, so next up, Katie, what's your recommended for the week?
Well, speaking of Silver Dollar Games, who did One Finger Death Punch, I'm sure they did Headshot 2 as well, which, if you've ever played that, it's an indie game. That is a lot of fun as well. All it is just you've got a shotgun and you're a hitman and you've got to get the reticle over the top of someone's head and shoot their head. But it's done in a kind of like South Park Weenie Con style. So
Silver Dollar Games, they're a weird duck because they've done some fun games like that and one particular. They've done some terrible stuff like Try Not to Fart and Don't Be Nervous Talking to Girls.
Oh, God, yeah. I've played the demo of both of them. They went worth it.
Like, there's some weird stuff on the FF5 in the marketplace. I think because there's no real filter, kind of just the strangest things do get through.
That's the problem. Like, I do like supporting indie games. It's the same with my comics. I love indie comics, so it's just a shame that that kind of stuff is so hidden. Because there are some good stuff on there, but you've just got to trawl through so much rubbish as well, sadly. But, yeah, no, that's good. Headshot 2. I would recommend that one.
Right.
Keep it on a Steam.
I might have played that, actually. It definitely rings a bell.
Yeah, it's not much to it, but it does get harder, predictably, but it's fun.
I'm just actually having a look on Silver Dollar's website, just looking at some of the games they've done. It's pretty much looks like a website for bad B movies in some cases. You've got Outbreak on Uranus, like Toad Man's Bizarre Quest. Yeah, Try Not to Fart. It's just like,
I can only assume that they do these games that are dodge. I don't want to say awful, but just dodge, because they appeal to certain audience who do snap them up for the 70p of 80 points.
Yeah,
and then they use the money from that to make good games.
Exactly. Yeah, they probably churn out these games that people just pick up, and pay.
They're EA basically
70 people.
I downloaded a few of these just because they look pretty bad, and I thought, oh, maybe they'd be good for a laugh, and they're not really. A Killer's Dream is one of them that I wouldn't recommend. It's holding a star of a little girl, and she's walking through a classroom and a chalkboard, and everything's being animated on the chalkboard of how she's killed people. And the girl's voice is like, oh, hello, like this, and it does get really frustrating by the end. You just want to shut up. So yeah, don't get it.
Well, I'm just looking at the girls category of games, and we've got so many girls, so little time, Don't Be Nervous, Talking to Girls, Old Spice Presents The Secret to the Perfect Pickup Line, Who Did I Date Last Night, and then you've got Crisis Nuclear Holocaust.
Toad Man's Bizarre Quest.
I'm not sure why. And there's also Who's the Daddy? I mean, I think that's like the official game for Croydon, isn't it?
I think it's the Jeremy Kyle game, that one, isn't it?
Oh, damn, because some people will latch onto that and they'll make it, and then I'll have to kill myself.
don't take my advice, people, when you listen to that. It's not a good idea.
Alright, and Matt, what about you? What's your recommendation for this week?
My recommendation for the week is, it may be, people have heard of this before, but my recommendation is a website called Good Old Games, and it's GOG.com, and basically it's it does what it says on the tin. It's good old games. It's like all of the like old games that you used to play from like the especially the 90s and like some of the 80s. It's especially good for adventure games like point and click, because they've recently been gathering the rights to release like many the old Sierra games. You've got like Gabriel Knight, you've got Myst, The Longest Journey, you've got Space Quest, King's Quest, Police Quest, Phantasmagoria, Broken Sword, and they've even got some of the more recent stuff, like the Tales of Monkey Island, Back to the Future game. You've got stuff like Little Big Adventure, Tex Murphy, but also they've got like those role-playing games, so they've got Baldur's Gate, Planescape Torment, Neverwinter Nights, Arcanum, they've got the original Fallout game, System Shock 2. So, they've got masses of stuff, that is literally just scratching the surface, but very much like, it's like, kind of like Steam, except they're all DRM-free, so, you don't have any, you're not restricted, so obviously you can download it and then just like send it to, if another gaming machine, then you can send it to that, so you can share things around. But it is really good, and they've had a summer sale on much like Steam at the moment, so you can pick up all sorts of games recently. I think Clive Barker's Undying was on sale recently, and it worked out to like £1.30 for that. So there, if you go on there, there really are some good stuff to be picked up on there. And I don't work for them.
A couple of questions in, actually, from listeners. Let's see now. We've got... here we go. Thanks for sending your stuff, guys. And remember, if you do want to send any more questions, you can send them in to @WeAreArcade on Twitter, or you can find us on our Facebook page, We Are Arcade, and mail them to us there. The first question is, will there ever be an MLP FPS, which comes from Amanda Mould? I'm going to assume that's My Little Pony.
Yeah.
Will there ever be a My Little Pony first-person shooter? No?
I doubt it.
I mean...
A first-person shooter? How would that work?
I don't know if you would play as a pony or shoot ponies. Like Return to Castle Wolfenstein, but like just with ponies.
I know this whole new, like, My Little Pony obsession and like bronies and stuff like that, but I have never watched the cartoon. I don't really have any inclination to that. That's not like I'm a dude, I can't watch My Little Pony. It's just like, really? It's just like, I just don't have any inclination to why it, what, you know, watch it. You know, I'm not adverse to like watching, you know, stuff that's supposedly for kids. I love stuff like Adventure Time and things like that, but it is, you know, it's just like, how's this come about? How has it suddenly become this like big thing to really like My Little Pony?
I don't know. There's a whole, actually, our sister show, Anime UK, did a whole, interview about it and a whole episode about it. So if you're curious more about the My Little Pony fandom and the Brony phenomenon, do check out the Anime UK show. But yeah, as for whether there will be an LP FPS, I'm gonna go with no. The closest thing you'd ever get would be like a Mirror's Edge style pony map, where you play as a pony and maybe like run around Ponyland, Equestria. I know what I'm talking about. I know ponies. Secret Brony. No, not.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you could do with My Little Pony. I suppose you could do, like, I don't know.
Fanbase is so rabid, though. You could release a game where you just walk around Ponyville and, they buy it.
I suppose you could do, like, you know, make your own pony, and then just, I don't know, could you do, like, an Animal Crossing style
like
game where you
make
your own pony and then just... You could do that. Well, maybe, you know, like, Spore-style My Little Pony, where you create your own pony, and then you have to send it out into the world and see if it will survive amongst all the other ponies.
Okay.
We're probably just ruining My Little Pony.
I don't know where we can go with that, but, yeah. Michael Casey asks, is this a question? The answer is no. Theo Martin Herbert asks, why was GTA 4 so bad, and will GTA 5 be good? Matt, I'll let you take this one away.
Well, GTA 4 wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all. I think I mentioned this last week, but I felt the main thing that it suffered from was taking itself a little bit too seriously. It kind of moved away from the like less serious style of like Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City and San Andreas, and it was a bit more like all serious stoic Nico, and you know, it was very much, you know, everything, it was very much more polished, but I think that polish kind of detracted from some of its character. It's like some of the radio stations weren't quite as memorable, you know, and generally, apart from the exception of a couple of characters, you know, like Nico's cousin Roman, and I can't remember his name, like the very much like jock kind of dude who would like take you out in vehicles. I can't remember his name,
but
he was good fun as well. But to be honest, the rest of the characters, I can't really remember many of them. So I think it was a super game. It was very polished, and it had, you know, I'll definitely play it again, but. It just suffered. It wasn't quite the Grand Theft Auto that I think everyone knew and loved, and I think Grand Theft Auto 5 should hopefully, judging by the gameplay trailer, should actually bring more of that back, because you've got things like, you know, all those awesome looking mini games like the tennis and the golf, and you know, you've got these three characters that all seem to be have a bit more character to them than Nico did. So fingers crossed, it should be, you know, like it was in the last San Andreas game. I think that's kind of why they chose to go with San Andreas again, because it was a huge open world, even for its time, and even now, I would say. So I think GTA 5 will probably be, I'm probably going to go say, put my neck out and say it'll probably be Game of the Year.
Alright. Let's see. Oh, here we go. We'll give this one to you, Kaylee. John McIlhager? John McIlhager. Sorry, John. He asked, what games did you play as kids that shaped you into the kind of gamers you are today?
Oh, for me, probably Zelda. I've always loved Zelda. Link's Awakening was the first game I played, actually, like properly. So I'd say Link's Awakening, definitely. That's helped a lot, because I love that whole like adventure RPG style game. What others? I'm a bit of a Nintendo girl, so Mario, definitely. Not really good at it, but yeah, Mario, Zelda. Yeah, I'd go with them too.
I think for me it was a spell of like Silkworm. I love shoot 'em ups. So my cousin would just get me like whatever shoot 'em ups I could find. But I remember really loving Silkworm on the old Amiga. Apart from that, it was lots of RPGs. Lots of terrible RPGs now. But I remember they all kind of had the same, it was always the same kind of storyline, you know. A kid from the little town finds out he's got this mystical power, or he's the last of his race, or he's the chosen one. And, you know, it would always be like the girl who was his childhood friend would come with him, or he'd meet her along the way or something. And all the storylines were so cliched. But I loved them. I kept lapping it up every time. To the point where whenever anything even vaguely was changed, like, it's not a girl from his town, it's a boy from his town, and he's joining him. I was like, wow, that's innovation. Yeah. so those are my, like, old favourites.
Yeah, I think another one for me is, Dragon Quest Monsters, Dragon Warrior Monsters, it was called in the first one, but that was another game that I played death. Absolutely loved it. I mean, I like Pokemon, but for some reason I just latched onto that more than Pokemon.
Oh, that's unusual.
So, I don't know why, I was rooting for the underdog, I think.
This wasn't Digimon.
No, I've never been a Digimon fan.
Matt, how about you?
I can name two games that I would probably say shaped me into the gamer that I am today. First one, the main one being, I mentioned it earlier, it was Monkey Island. Absolutely 100% my favourite game of all time. I've completed it, I don't know how many times, but it's just a game that I can go back to time and time again. You know, I just loved it from start to finish. You know, it's got brilliant characters in it. You know, the plot, not award winning, but you know, it's good fun. And you know, the puzzles, that, you know, they're so good, you know, it's just like, they're challenging, but they weren't frustrating. You know, if you got stuck, you go back, try it again, and then continue. You know, it's just a classic game. The soundtrack's brilliant. You know, I was just sitting down the other day, and just like listening to the soundtrack while I was just doing stuff. It's just like, it's so memorable. I even when I got married, and during the reception part of the day, I actually managed to slip the opening credit, you know, the opening credits music into the music that was playing in the wedding reception, and I had actually someone shout out across the room to me, "Is this Monkey Island?" And it was like, yes! So, definitely that one. And the other one would be Ultima 7, which is probably the first RPG that I played that I absolutely loved. You know, it was just so much to it. You know, it was dark and, yeah, and the, you know, the opening bit where, I can't remember its name, but the demon basically sticks his face out the screen and talks to you, because it used voice at the time, which is, I think, was fairly rare for that point. It was just like a fairly new thing. So it just all stuck out, you know, stuck with me, and that's when I really started to latch onto the whole RPG thing. So, yep, definitely Monkey Island and Ultima 7.
Okay, well, that's all we have time for today then, guys. Thanks for listening to the show. You can find us on Facebook at We Are Arcade. You can find us on Twitter, also at We Are Arcade. And of course, you can find us online at www.wearearcade.com. You've been listening to Arcade Radio. I've been Dan, Kaylee and Matt. Say bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
www.wearearcade.com